This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Graham McConnell. Graham's the founder and CEO of a firm called Nth Round. He's going to talk to us about Nth Round. He'll talk to us about priorities this year, his background, what he's excited about, and a little bit more. Graham, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Scott. My name is Graham McConnell. I'm the founder and CEO of Nth Round. I guess the origin starts with after getting out of college, I worked at a startup in the Philadelphia area. I was lucky enough to be an option holder in that company and was very fired up to be a part owner of that startup, only to realize about a year and a half later that the equity wasn't really worth what I originally thought it was and ended up basically forfeiting those options. I then went to a institutional investment manager in Center City, Philadelphia, called AJO Partners, where I got to see kind of the complete opposite world of public companies and how much liquidity there is in those markets, and also how much transparency there is in terms of reporting standards, and just the juxtaposition of private versus public markets. And that's kind of what got me started with Nth Round.
The audience, a lot of people will understand this, probably people won't understand this, that periodically when you end up with units in sort of a private company or a private equity funded company, you think the units are going to be worth X percent of the company, but then you realize at some point they're worth X percent after a threshold or after a hurdle or something else, and it ends up being, it can be quite disappointing if you didn't really sort of understand it from the get-go what you really owned. Talk about then Nth Round and how you started that.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of it comes down to liquidity. So unless there is some kind of big liquidity event that happens in a private company like an acquisition or an IPO, then there's really not much of a chance to realize a return on your investment. And by that, I mean in terms of time that you put into the company. So that was really a genesis point for us because We think that there's a better way for shareholders, investors, and partners of private companies to get liquidity out of their company.
And how is that? Tell us how that is or what you do with it.
So we build private markets. They're essentially secondary markets for these companies, and it provides another avenue for shareholders to get liquidity. It's essentially a listing service for those shares, and it allows the company to bring in new investors and in a very private way, share with them the information that they need to invest in the company. And on the other hand, allow existing investors, if they've been around for a while, to achieve some sort of liquidity. And it's still completely up to the company whether they want to allow, let's say, 10% of their shares to be put onto this market. But at least it's better than nothing, which is kind of where most companies are right now.
And how does this work? How does the secondary backup market work for this?
Well, first we need buy-in from the company. And it's generally the CFO or the executive team that can make that decision. But once they allow this to take place, they make available to all of the investors a certain amount of information so that there's a level playing field. And so any incoming investors or any existing investors have access to this same level of information. And that allows a market to be set up where everyone's on the same level playing field and they can more easily transact, understand the value of the company. It's an SEC requirement that everyone have access to the buyers and sellers have access to the same information. So once it's set up, these shareholders can place a bid or an ask for how much and at what price they'd like to buy or sell at.
Got it. And how is the company going? How are you guys doing so far? Tell us a little bit about you're starting up your firm and the growth of it and so on.
Well, the first 6 months or so was a lot of regulatory work. We worked with some very expensive lawyers in New York, and they helped us to certify that what we were doing was completely compliant. We even ended up going down to the SEC and meeting with Commissioner Pierce at the SEC, and she Well, the SEC is no longer in the business of giving exemptions necessarily or a blanket approval. We did get a nod of approval from them, saying that that what we were doing was okay. So we spent most of last year selling the liquidity platform, and it actually turned out that there were plenty of companies that, yes, they were bought into that trading platform, but the steps that come before the trading platform in terms of information sharing were actually the first thing that they would like to tackle. And nowadays we actually have, I'd say, more clients that are bought into the investor portal, the shareholder portal, for dispersing this kind of information. So the liquidity platform, while still a big component of our software, I'd say the majority of our buyers are actually first taking on this investor portal and making that available to their shareholders and investors.
And what does the investor portal part of it do? What's the core of that?
Well, it really increases transparency. So if I'm a shareholder in a private company, I can now go to the investor portal, which is a very secure place for me to see what's the value of my equity, how many shares do I have, if there's any tax reporting information, like if it's a partnership K-1s, for example. All of that is held in this very secure environment. And it kind of serves as a home base for me as an investor in the company.
Got it. And that is so valuable because, of course, so many companies where there's different units, A, B, C units, other kinds of units, a lot of people don't really understand what the different units mean until there's a transaction, and then they're surprised one way or the other. And I think that's the point you were making early on. What are you looking at? Are the big priorities this year? What are your big priorities for the company this year?
Well, I think onboarding is still a hurdle for us. That's one of the complaints that we hear about some of our competitors, is that it takes months to get on board, and it's just a lot of information gathering that we need to go through to get the company up and running. So that's one area where we're building tools to make it ultra easy for the company to get on board. So as an example, tools that allow the company to take their cap table, the capitalization table, which is generally in a spreadsheet, and easily have the system ingest all that information and have it all set up at a click of a button. So that's one priority for us. Another one, which we've heard from our clients quite a bit this year, is boardroom technology. And I know that there are companies out there that specialize only in boardroom software, but it makes so much sense for a platform like ours to have some kind of boardroom capability, because your investors are all there. Your board is probably also within that cohort. So why not provide a boardroom or a meeting room where those board members can get access to board materials? And then the last area I would say is around fundraising. Because we're serving up an investor portal, there's a really strong use case for fundraising or bringing in new investors. So we're continuing to build out our platform, which allows people to securely invite participants onto the platform, let them see a certain level of information, and make a decision about whether they'd like to invest in the company.
Got it. And so you're excited about the company. It's going well. This part of it you talked about, for sure, fits a very big need, and there's more and more to it. Finally, you were ultimately a Dartmouth graduate. Dartmouth is often known as the most well-liked of the Ivies for kids that go to Dartmouth, students that go to Dartmouth, magnificent school. Dartmouth versus Columbia, Harvard, Yale, Penn, I mean, where does Dartmouth fit? Is it the best school in the Ivy League, the best overall school in the Ivy League, or just the best school, period?
Well, in my humble opinion, it is the best school. I think it's often overlooked because it's hidden up in New Hampshire. But because of that, there is so much available to students. It provides a really well-rounded experience. We had Conan O'Brien was one of the speakers for commencement speakers, and he has a really great take on where Dartmouth sits in the Ivy League. And if any listeners haven't heard his speech, I encourage them to listen to it. But he lays out a few different points that I think make it definitely the best school.
Magnificent. Thank you. Unbiased, direct, to the point. Great thinking. Thank you very much. Graham, in all seriousness, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the growth and launch of Nth Round. We wish you great success. And thank you for joining us on the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Fantastic.